Good morning.
Good to worship with you on this day the Lord has made, whether that be here in person or also worshiping with you online. Are you good at holding grudges and withholding forgiveness? No doubt we can be hurt pretty good physically and emotionally and even spiritually. But does that give us the right to seek revenge or to be unwilling to forgive those who have hurt us? Today we want to explore the subject of forgiveness, the when and the how and the why. God has answers, even the ones we do not always like to hear. God be praised for his candid words, given with love. With that in mind, I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all my sins.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless, worried, and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ. For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. For the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, a reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter. How could he? How could Joseph forgive his brothers? Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 73. I am always with you, O Lord. You hold me by my right hand. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you.
My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 6th chapter, pointing out the fact that Jesus asked some hard things of us, necessary and yet hard. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now sing our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is possible thanks to our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we focus our meditation this morning. We turn our attention once again to these words from the book of Genesis, chapter 45. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made forgiveness with God possible and in turn enables us to be forgiving. Do you marvel more over the fact that God can forgive you? Or over the fact that God expects you to forgive those who have hurt you in some way? Is God's grace to be amazing only for you? Or is it also to be amazing for those who have hurt you in some way? Or for those we hear about on the news who committed some terrible deed and have since said, "I am sorry." God reminds us of what forgiveness is, His, of ours, of us, and what it is to look like ours of others. A great example of this that God puts before us has to do with the life story of a young man named Joseph. Many of you, if not all of you, recall this life story of Joseph. He was part of a blended family, same dad, different mothers. He ended up being the favorite of his dad, and the dad did not hide that fact, and sometimes the son did not hide that either, that he was the favorite amongst his older brothers. And because of sin, what happens when there's favoritism in the household? Jealousy raises its ugly head. And so the brothers are out in the field, and so his dad wants to send some supplies to the brothers, checking how they're doing. And so he sends that favorite son, "Go and check on your brothers." And as they see the brother approaching, what do the other brothers, filled with jealousy, come up with? "Let's take him out." Some wanted to kill him. Some just hurt him. But you know, right? They threw him in a pit. And then by chance, a group of caravan people come by, and then they, "Well, let's sell him and make some money, and then we'll come up with a story and tell Dad that he's dead." Talk about self-centeredness. Only looking out for themselves, not looking out for Joseph, and definitely not respecting their father, including their heavenly father. Joseph sold to people of high position in the land of Egypt. Can't imagine what's going through his head. Did the brothers ever think of what they had done? Perhaps. Was there remorse? Perhaps. But Joseph is the focus. How did Joseph get along being sold by his brothers? How did he get along being in a foreign land, treated as a servant, abused as a servant, even thrown in prison? God taught Joseph a very valuable lesson. And through that lesson that he taught Joseph, he continues to teach you and me a valuable lesson, especially on the subject of forgiveness, which is a difficult subject for many. In the church and outside of the church, there are many misunderstandings when it comes to the topic of forgiveness. One thing we want to keep in mind, that Joseph's ability to forgive and our ability to forgive, it starts from outside of us. But then it has the ability to flow through us. It starts outside of us because we're not really any different than the brothers of Joseph, and really not any different than Joseph. We get into our bragging moments knowing that we're going to create jealousy, maybe not expecting the blowback that Joseph received, but we shouldn't be surprised when we get blowback for bragging about our accomplishments and being the favorite, whether it be at work or in the home or at school. And then how often do we attempt to seek revenge in our thoughts? In our words? And with our actions? When it comes to name calling? Do you try to one-up the one who called you a name? To the one that gave you the bird on the highway? Are you tempted to pull out your revolver? I'll show him or her. Doesn't happen, does it? If you listen to the news, it's kind of scary to drive on our roads nowadays. Revenge, since the fall into sin, has been around. And we as Christians are not immune to it. That's why the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, encourages us, as he needed encouragement, to continually drown that old Adam, in this case, that wants to seek revenge and to withhold forgiveness, forgetting that we have been forgiven. And so who are we to withhold forgiveness from someone else? Further proof that forgiveness starts outside of us. A reminder that's made clear to us of who we are by nature, and even that old Adam that likes to cling to us day after day. God said, as we heard earlier, it's mine to avenge, not yours. He reminds us of that because of our natural bent to seek revenge. And also another reminder in Scripture to not let the sun go down while we're angry. Yes, we're going to get angry. What are you going to do with that anger? There's a reason why he gives us that advice, because when it's allowed to fester, what happens? That desire to seek revenge, to one-up, grows. And as James points out, that desire can give birth to sin. And so we need the Lord's reminder to love one another. Love covers over a multitude of sins. But to get that, it starts outside of us. And so we're talking about grace, pure grace, unconditional love, the John 3:16 love. God so loved you that what was he willing to do out of love for you? Not because you deserved it, or not because he thought, oh, you know what, you're going to turn out to be a good person. No. In spite of us, what did God do? He sent his Son to suffer and die, so that our relationship with God could be healed and our relationships with one another could be relationships of love. Romans 3 reminds us of God's grace in action as we hear these words. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, in which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. For if the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Where is that forgiveness rooted? And where is the ability to forgive rooted? In Jesus Christ. We're about to enter the season of Lent and travel once again with our Savior to His cross. Isaiah 53 sums up beautifully the purpose of the suffering servant and what he had to suffer for us poor, wretched, miserable sinners, whose first reaction too often is to seek revenge and to withhold forgiveness. The good that I want to do, we with Paul have to say, we do not do. But that which we should not do, well, we seem to have no problem doing it more than we ought. Thankfully, Jesus came to be that suffering servant. And it's through Him and only Him that we are able to have peace with God, forgiveness with God, and it's that forgiveness then that enables us to be forgiving of others. I mean, we ought to take seriously what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive as we forgive. The Lord knows our heart. He knows if those are just words coming through our lips and we have no intent of paying attention to those words. God, help us believe and put into practice those words. Understanding what is at the heart of the forgiveness that we have received and the forgiveness that we are to offer. Jesus Christ, our crucified Savior, who rose again, and because He lives, we too shall live, who gives us the power to live in His forgiveness that He has won for us, and to share that with others. Isn't that part of being salt and light that God has called us to be in this world? To not only know that we are forgiven, but to demonstrate and share that forgiveness with others, and to share with them who's at the heart of that, that it doesn't come from within us, but rather outside of us by God's grace through Jesus. How important that gift of faith is, not something that we can earn or not something that we deserve, but given to us by grace. What a gift. Amazing, isn't it? So do you marvel again more at how God can forgive you? Or more over the fact that God expects you to be forgiving of those who hurt you? How could Joseph do what he did? By God's grace, he came to know how he was forgiven. And how God was using him, not just for his own purposes, but to offer a great deliverance, because there was a famine in the land. God sees the big picture and enabled Joseph to see parts of that bigger picture. That though his brothers intended harm, God was going to use that harm and still make it out for good for Joseph and his family and also the world. Because there was a greater deliverance God had in mind, which was at the heart of the forgiveness for Joseph and for his brothers and for all of us. This is the importance then of the means of grace, the tool that God uses to bring us into God's family, to assure us of God's forgiveness, and the importance of staying connected to the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, where here at the rail we are assured of God's forgiveness one-on-one, not by what we have done. This is not a sacrifice that we do. This is pointing the sacrifice of what Jesus has done through His shed blood. We are forgiven and have the ability to forgive. What a difference maker in our life this news of God's forgiveness is that comes to us through the gospel. It's that gospel then that enables us to take the plank out of our own eye before trying to take the speck out of someone else's eye. Now, when we become part of the family of God, Are we instantly changed in the sense of we are automatically now willing to forgive anybody and everybody? No. It takes time. Thus, the importance of staying connected to the means of grace. Forgive and forget? We can't always forget, can we? You think Joseph forgot what his brothers did to him? He remembered. He even pointed it out to them. Not as a dig, but as a reminder. You sold me. You hurt me. But take heart. Despite your hurt, God used it for good. Amazing that God worked in Joseph such an attitude and desire and ability to forgive. And he does the same for us. As Joseph was healed, so he was in a position to offer healing to others. You and I, we have been healed, and so we are in a position to offer healing to others. Do you know who is hurting in your life? Who needs this message of forgiveness? Who maybe needs to hear the words of forgiveness from you? Who has said to you, "I am sorry," but you have blown them off, attempting to read their heart? Yes, we want to see consistency in action, but are we consistent? And so again, who are we to withhold forgiveness from those who are seeking it? And who's at the root of that forgiveness? Be willing to forgive, even if the other person is not asking for it, because it's a healing for you. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Get rid of the little jabs. Those don't bring peace. God knows your heart if you're intending to hurt someone with that little extra jab once in a while. But that's not always easy. And so we need this reminder again and again. How God's mercies are fresh and new. How he has forgiven us and so puts us in a position to forgive others. That doesn't mean we don't hold people accountable. They're forgiven, but there's still consequences. And this is where we need to keep the big picture view in mind, the Grand Canyon view of how God looks at life. People may intend to harm you, but God can turn that for good. We need to keep that in mind as we put ourselves in a position to be willing to forgive, keeping in mind how we have been forgiven. And so on this subject of forgiveness, remember to give yourself some grace. Jesus went to the cross knowing full well that we were not going to live perfect lives in light of this. We are going to wrestle with the forgiveness we have and we are to show to others. And that's not all bad. And as you are allowed to show yourself some grace, continue to show grace to others. If we are serious about stopping hate, of getting over the woe is me thinking, of walking with Jesus all the way to the end, if we are serious, remember Joseph, and that this is what forgiveness looks like. Amazing. Isn't it? Can we get an amen? Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. These words are found for us today on page 9.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Again, praise God for the opportunity to give our financial gifts so that the message of the gospel, the message of full and free forgiveness, can be proclaimed here and through us throughout the world. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. Lord, take our silver and our gold, not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, we pour at your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves and we will be ever only all for you. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week, and help our married couples keep the spark in their marriage, moved by your love for each of them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one of us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he overcame death.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. words and place them for Jesus' name. Take and drink. This is the truth of our Lord and Savior.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life with joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Indeed. Thanks to our Lord Jesus. Just a reminder again, if you haven't filled out a Connect card, please take the time to do so and return it in the basket there in the entryway on the table with the lamp on it. Appreciate that. In place of our Bible study hour today, we're doing that celebration focus, celebration of our ministry here at St. Mark's. And so please stick around. We'll start that at 9:30. And We'll be in here for about 15, 20 minutes. There'll be a handout once you're inside here, so there won't be a handout out there to pick up. And then after that, we'll divide you up into groups, and as you're able, walk around the campus. The four boards will be outside the buildings on the campus, and the areas of ministries, such as Worship Arts Committee, Prayer Committee, and so forth, will be inside the Multipurpose Center. So if you have an opportunity, stick with your group leader and get to know our ministry even better and how you can stay involved in that ministry. If you can't walk around the campus, you know, around the Multipurpose Center on the outside of it, at least hopefully you can make it to the Multipurpose Center and check out the tables in there. So just keep that in mind. You can read the weekly news for details of what is happening here at St. Mark's, our church and school. Just a note, the 2030 event for today, we have moved it for this coming Saturday, the 26th. We're going to be trying to do a bonfire safely at the Lederman residence. So keep that in mind, 2030. That's coming up on Saturday. Other than that, God's grace and peace continue to abound in your life. And we'll see you back here in a few minutes. Thanks.